I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Bills news with a UK twist. I've got Robin back from the windy, Mark, and myself, and gentlemen, is the comeback on? Is playoff? Are we gonna make that late charge to the Super Bowl? Is it a new era now?
Feels good after a win, doesn't it? I'm full of adrenaline and sugar highs from getting a win over the Jets. So yeah, why the hell not? let's just win out from here, go in hot. No one wants to play us, and just 2007 Giants it.
You boys are hilarious.
one win over the Jets.
One win over a team that has the worst quarterback in the NFL, and suddenly we're world beaters again.
Exactly.
How quickly we've forgotten the last month, eh?
Exactly. full bipolar. Manic. Yeah. We've had the depression. Now let's bring on the mania.
But then again, we put 32 points up on one of the best defenses. We did play well.
A few things went our way, but we played a lot better. Played with a bit of confidence. Played with a bit of something about us. That is a good thing.
Played with a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
it was a wonderful thing. And As much as I don't want anyone to lose their jobs, if there was anyone who deserved to lose their job, it was Mr. Dorsey.
Had to hand back all his Bills merch and gear, so he had to walk home naked as well, didn't he?
Yeah, which is fine.
Even the Bills underwear.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And hopefully there were people like shouting and like ringing bells and shouting shame.
I think someone actually snap a photo of him at an airport or something like that. I saw a tweet on there saying, "Is that Ken Dorsey? That's Ken Dorsey." I was waiting for someone to just go up to him and say, "Oh, you're right, Ken. How are you doing now?" Yeah. But I mean, it's good to see that fresh impetus now and show what it. You could now say that it probably was Dorsey's system, Dorsey's scheme that held this offense back. Yes, as we said in the last show, the stats show that we were statistically one of the best offenses in the league. Obviously, interceptions on there,
I take a slightly larger view when it comes to Cuddly Ken. I think. I don't think it was necessarily his system. I think the players had stopped believing in his system and the players had stopped playing. And I think the familiar thing of losing the locker room and losing the dressing room is ultimately what did for him. He's probably one of those guys who's really, really good with PowerPoint. And he's probably got really good like presentations and really good things. And he can like make a really convincing argument in a classroom. And he was probably really good in the meetings and explaining how everyone needs to stand and move his little chess pieces around the board. But at times you need someone to go in and shout them and hug them and slap them and kick them. And he's just not that guy. And he might find a job somewhere else, but I think they needed something else. And ultimately, he has to be responsible for that. If he's going to get all the flowers for when they win, unfortunately, he has to carry the can when they lose.
Mm. I mean, it's nice to see more refreshed now, a more refreshed offense. And we'll talk into a little bit more in a bit in regards to it. The fact that there was a lot more diversity and plays, although I still hate the fact that we ran the majority of the time in shotgun again, still.
But one step at a time.
At least
in this case, when we're in shotgun, we're not running one of four plays every single time. There was some variety. It was an offense that was set up with the actual weapons that we had. It allowed Josh to be Josh, rather than almost trying to stymie who Josh is as a quarterback. And it wasn't perfect. There was a, by a long way, it wasn't perfect. You think back to those first three possessions, to come away with three field goals wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
But what we managed to do on this occasion is score touchdowns where previously we've not done anything. We cut out like the ridiculous turnovers, which was a very good, a very big positive. And we kept putting the pressure on and managed to score the points where we haven't done that in the last month. And I do think that's down to the variation and pounding the rock a lot of the time. Yeah. We ran the ball.
I'm just kind of wondering if.
Yeah, I agree.
What's he going to say? It's going to be so profound.
Yeah. It's a very. I mean, you look at the look on his face at the minute.
Yeah, he's coming up with something now. That is row down, eat your heart out. That is the thinker. This guy is going to come out. Oh God! Oh, he's going. Hit us.
Well, what was it, Matt? Go.
Go on.
Well, but you're about to say pound the rock, weren't you? You said pound the rock, and then everything just went fucked up again.
We were waiting for your profound bit of mystical wisdom that you're gonna come out with.
Well, no, I was just gonna say, was it a case that now, obviously Dorsey wanted this two tight end set?
Yeah.
Yes.
They didn't have the right balance of tight ends because they went with two more receiving tight ends that didn't excel at blocks. Whereas you kind of wanted at least one that was an exceptional blocker that can actually catch. But then going back to the 1-1 personnel, that seems to open it up, and that seems to be how, with motion and all that, how Brady's managed to get this offense throwing 32 points on this stingy Jets defense.
I think that's probably part of it. I think that there's the fact that our offensive line is one of only, I think, three units now in the NFL that is still the original starting five that are still playing probably plays a bit of it. I think an element of it is just the fact that Dorsey didn't seem to trust the run game. Not enough is made of the season James Cook is having.
By
a long way. I can't remember exactly where he is in terms of rushing leaders, and it's altered a little bit with the fact that we've not had a bye week yet. But considering he was playing in a system where clearly his offensive coordinator didn't trust him, and one game where he was sat on his ass for two quarters because he fumbled a ball on the first play of the game, he's had a quietly excellent season, and Joe Brady seemed to trust it and went back to it. You look at the previous game where every time we needed to get something going when we were playing the Broncos, it was the running game that did it rather than the passing game. And in this game again, for him to come out of the contest having got like 73 yards, over 4 yards a carry again, it balances out the offense. It gives us something to work with, and it creates opportunities for Josh Allen in the passing game, which under Dorsey's, I'm going to pick one of four plays when I, you know, I feel like he's got a deck of cards and he flips it over, and if it's a heart, he runs that play. If it's a diamond, he runs that play. He's got four. That's all he ran every fucking time, and it was so much better.
Not bad in the passing game either. Got three catches, got a touchdown. Ty Johnson, three catches as well. So talk about opening up opportunities. He's got open up opportunities in the passing game as well.
Yes,
precisely. And with the emergence of, well, certainly Dalton Kincaid and now Khalil Shakir as well.
Shakir's the real deal, isn't he? Shakir is the real deal.
And Diggs didn't have to do anything in the game. So you take Diggs, Kincaid, Shakir with pass catching James Cook.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Is this the game that signals the death knell in the Bills' career of Gabe Davis?
The playing devil's advocate, because it would be very easy to say, what is he had? Two catches in three games.
I genuinely can't even, was he even targeted in this game?
No, he wasn't. I think he was 0-0.
Yes, he was. I think he was totally...
There was one attempt that went way over his head and he never had a chance. So it wasn't even a... You can't blame him for not catching
it. I think.
But I think it was vaguely in his direction, wasn't it? Josh Allen overthrew him. Playing a devil's advocate, he did some nice blocking.
Good.
But let's
hire a tree to be the wide receiver.
Yeah, I was going to say you could probably get someone for less than $15 million a year to do that for you.
There's not a chance he's earning wide receiver two money.
None. Not here. Not with the Bills. The Raiders will probably pick him up. Buffalo reject. Buffalo reject. Someone with more salary cap than sense will probably pick him up, and I think, we can do something. And they may well be able to, but you can't after 4 years. No, sorry.
But I mean,
I predicted him to be good for the last two seasons.
Yeah, let him out.
I mean, he can be still useful. He'd be blocking. He'd be useful for himself in the shop window, saying, he's an unselfish player. He does a bit for the team, which will be, Ray's thing. But no, draft another guy.
It's got to be Khalil Shakira's wide receiver two.
Yes, draft another guy
at this point for the rest of the season. Yeah, I think next season, I think Shakir moves into that wide receiver three berth, and they'll potentially get another either a vet free agent wide receiver, or then again they'll draft high again, or draft high for a wide receiver. In this, in the upcoming draft, to act as wide receiver two, but I feel with Davis, it depends on his contract. If he asks for 12 plus, then I can see them actually saying no. Test the market. Good luck. We'll develop from within.
If they were willing to let Tremaine Edmonds walk, then
yeah.
And Devin Singletary, which might be a closer analog. I just don't think so. He's just not done enough. He's just not flashed enough. And a wide receiver two is 12 to 15 million, isn't it? And even more than that. And no, I don't think so. You like you say, move Shakir up to number two, maybe draft another one. We've still got Justin Shorter hanging about. You never know what he might be like. He might have a half decent year two. He might be. What I am seeing is Deontay Harty is good for kick returns and punt returns, and I'm not really sure where Trent Sherfield is. He's another one of those training camp gold medalists, isn't he? Guys who's great in camp and just hasn't really flashed enough, has he?
I think Brady has got like his core that he can actually design plays for, which is Diggs, Davis, Shakir, Cook, Kincaid, and to a lesser extent Latavius Murray. On there, I think he's got that core which he can build around and obviously make it more simpler. And it seems like Josh seems to have liked it. I mean, he came out and said he actually really enjoyed it. It actually looked a bit more, I wouldn't say simple for him, but it allowed him to...
It definitely was simpler.
Yeah.
Yes.
100% was.
But I don't mean it's simple, like here, you go from here to here, that sort of stuff. I mean, simpler in terms of design and obviously... the reads and all that, like obviously with Dorsey, he's trying to do this, that. He's trying to look all over the place. With Brady, it's this, and then almost give you like a free rein to actually to make the call and make the decision on the read. So he felt a lot more comfortable, and it was noticeable. Other than that one errant throw, that interception right at the end of the second half, which I didn't understand why he did that when we were receiving the ball in the second half anyway.
That doesn't bother me in the slightest, actually. I've got no issue at all with him.
I do. It cost me points on fantasy.
I've got no issue at all with him. And do you know what I quite like? The fact that there was obviously a lot's been made of this streak of interceptions that he's on. And when the opportunity is there that he's got to chuck up a Hail Mary from halfway, there's a lot of quarterbacks in this league and in the past that would go, I'm not making that play. I don't want to risk another interception for a chance that isn't very likely we're not going to score from. I love the fact that Josh has got that Brett Favre mentality of, I don't give a shit about streaks of interceptions. If there's a chance it might work and we can score from it, I'm going to heave it up there and give it a go. So that doesn't bother me in the slightest. Slightly more concerning was how they nearly ran it back the other way for a score. But I love the fact that he doesn't have give a monkeys about the fact that it's going to be potentially an interception. It's another game that this streak of interceptions goes. He's like, yeah, bothered. It's like there's an opportunity we might score. If it works, it works. If it doesn't really matter because it's the last play of the half. So that for me was fine. That's an interception I don't care about.
Yeah,
that's not a really bad decision.
I understand the conservative mindset of 40 seconds left and they just knee it to take it into the half. But I just think, well, why not? The only thing you're really risking is either an injury or them running it all the way back. And if you're throwing it into the end zone, the chances of that happening are pretty low. And I think it's just the quarterback's ego, isn't it? He just doesn't want a pick to show up on his stats, and that's why
100%. So there's a lot of quarterbacks who would have considered their stats first rather than thinking about the opportunity to score. So I love that about him. I've got no problem.
Yeah.
I don't like it when he throws interceptions that are boneheaded plays when he's got better options.
And yeah.
It's like second and five with 10 minutes of the half to go. That's a different kettle of fish. Like 40 seconds left to go in the half and it's a wing and a prayer Hail Mary on fourth down. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just good the fact that, say, we've now got, and let's say this is more of a trial for Brady, but we've seen that he's now able to adjust and make the adjustments then and there and communicate it down. Because I was re-watching watching a YouTube video with the guys at Cover One, Eric Turner at Cover One did about the play and how he actually he adapted. So in one play they dropped, I think it was Williams. He was actually going to blitz, but then dropped him off. And then that caused the sack on Allen. And the next time they actually did something like that, the Jets, Allen scrambled for 4 or 5 yards and slid. So the adjustment, and obviously it sounded like they looked like go more up tempo, and that one personnel has really looks like that is our identity. I think I've said it so many times. What's our identity? No huddle, up tempo, 11 personnel. That's got to be the way forward with the identity, and obviously mix in the run and pass, which Brady can do. And I think those 2 years away from actually OC and head coach has really refined Brady's offensive mind, let's call it that.
I think one thing to bear in mind, that the one sort of silver lining of calamitous Ken's reign might be that sort of installation has now been cleared away. Now, what Joe Brady can't do is have an off-season to install a brand new offense. He is going to have to work with a more limited palette. But it also means that the, 10 games of film that the DCs would look at now really no longer exists. The Bills are going to be playing with a slightly simpler thing. So the preparation that defenses are going to have are maybe going to be slightly impacted by that. So it's a more simple, more straightforward offense, but also means they don't have quite as much film for people to study. So that may play into our hands.
Yeah,
this just felt like the offense that we used to run.
Yeah,
and it was opportunities on third down with design runs for Josh. We haven't seen that this season.
Yeah,
and that's to me what Josh Allen wants to do. That's his style.
Just get the five and then put your bottom down, and then that's it. That's
the difference. Yeah.
Yes.
It just felt like, you know, it wasn't perfect, but it was put the ball in our best players' hands and just watch him carve it up, run the ball, play your offense. That's what we always used to do. That's what we used to do in the 90s. Well, the early 90s anyway. That's what we used to do then. It was, you know, I think Ken just got in his own way, and it got in the offensive way. Whatever he was trying to do was just taking it away too far from the Daboll offense, and this felt more like a day, the day ball offense.
Mm. I think as much as I think trying to implement, I mean, you've got given the tools in essence, and as I say, I mentioned on the last show, we Dorsey got given the tools. He got the players he wanted. He got the tools to actually implement what he wanted, and yet it was a bit successful, but then it just dropped. It actually it just went vanilla and wrong, and everyone just lost confidence in it. And it's like Brady's got us 7 weeks to probably sprinkle in some of his own plays and try and maybe adapt Dorsey's plays to make it more simpler and allow for an easier offense and momentum.
Yeah, and I think he can do that. And like, it's the ultimate test, isn't it? You're playing one of the best three defenses probably in the league, and the fact that he's managed to turn in the space of a week a team that was struggling to do anything against shite teams into a team that can put 32 points. The Jets don't concede that amount of points.
Mm. No, about 2 years, I think, something like that. They are good defensively.
Very, very good. And the fact that he's managed to conjure up that offensive performance, and it could have easily been 40 points if you consider those first three possessions where they were all field goals, could easily have been 40 points on the Jets defense. And that just doesn't happen. And that's a hell of a first game.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good going forward, and we'll see that when we get to Sunday and the Eagles game. But the one thing I want to talk about, we'll switch over, is this defense. I mean, obviously we faced Zach Wilson.
Oh. Yes, the terror, mother's ruin.
But
I love it. I fucking love our defense, man.
Yeah, playing for each other, playing for the coach. I mean, they've got, who are they down to? I mean, did we even have a starting cornerback? Did we even have a starting guy in the secondary with concussions? Dane was out, Taron was out. Benford played, but he wasn't supposed to. Hyde with the stinger. Fuck me. They had Cam Lewis, I think, was on at one point. Saran Neal was on.
They're finding ways, and there are guys that are stepping up. In this game, Leonard Floyd, unbelievable. Yes. Tyrell Dodson came out of nowhere to be incredible in this game. Razzle Douglas.
Tackles,
it was six, like led the team, I think, with six tackles.
Yeah.
Razzle Douglas was amazing in what was only his second full game for the team. As it turns out, my God, what an important trade that is for us for the rest of this season. Because can you imagine who would be our corners if we hadn't done that? He was in, and Oliver had a good game. And it's just, despite the injuries, despite the adversity that they faced, based on how crap the offense has been for the last month. And I get the argument, you're playing what is probably a revolving door of an offensive line and Zach Wilson or Boyle. They're incredible. They're an incredible unit to keep playing to the level that they're playing, regardless of the opposition, with the people that they have that are out at the moment. It's just one of the storyline of the season for me.
I mean, one thing I want to put to you, obviously I go to PFF for most of the stats and all that. This season, who is the number one ranked linebacker in the NFL according to PFF?
In the league?
In the league, yeah.
Terrell Bernard.
Yeah, let's just say Terrell Bernard.
Nope. It's Terrell Dodson.
PFF.
That's true.
I bet someone's come up with.
Apparently, he's got a 90 point. He's got a 90.3 rating. From PFF.
What is this? Just for this? Just for this week or for the entire season?
For the season.
For the season.
For the season.
He barely played for most of like the first
Milano got taken off, didn't he? And that was week five in Jaguars.
Yeah, but he's top. Wow. He's the highest graded linebacker this season.
Wow.
My God.
He was second in the run stop percentage at 13.6 against the Jets. Racked up 16 run stops. He's actually obviously he had the stat line of the forced fumble, or the punch out, let's call it that. Seven tackles, a quarterback hit, a tackle for a loss, a sack, and all that. And obviously he's playing alongside Bernard. So what in essence you're kind of thinking that this linebacker core, which we thought was going to take a bit of a hit when Milano was out, has got more solid, and Dodson's now started to come into his own a bit. And I think it's probably because he's not the Mike.
They've raised the floor, I think, rather than, you know, they've been able to cover for Milano, I think, magnificently. Because I think when Milano went off, I, for one, in Tottenham, chewing that piece of wank Philly cheese steak, and I'm not going to let that go, £300. I remember thinking, well, that's the season. Milano and Jones, but actually you don't feel quite as worried. They've managed to get around it. They've schemed around it. The D-line has stepped up. Pass rush is better. Just need Von Miller to be Von Miller again, and, you know, we might have a chance.
Am I reading this right, Matt? I don't pay PFF any money, because for the reason that they have Tyrell Dodson as the number one landline.
Yeah, exactly.
But am I right in thinking that it also says that Dorian Williams is currently the seventh ranked?
No. Their ranking is Dodson, Fred Warner, Demario Davis, CJ Mosley, Jahali Dehavi, Quincy Williams, Blake Cashman, Fodse Olunku, Marquez Bell, it's Bobby Wagner.
Oh,
Bernard.
So Tyrell Dodson is number one, and Terrell Bernard is not in the top 12.
No, Matt Milano is the next one at 26, Bills players wise. And then where was he? Bernard's 34.
Okay, I'm going to have to. They're going to have to show they're working there. So a guy who was stretched off in week five and hasn't played since and is out for the season is eight places higher than the guy who recorded, what, three sacks against, was it Washington or the Raiders? And it's just been the discovery of who's having the year two to what?
Yeah.
I love it.
But yeah. Okay, why not? Matt Milano, 26. Yeah, this is, I mean, really?
Yeah,
he's only got 25. Like a man who hasn't played for six games and only played for five,
you've got to love
is him. Still in the okay 26. All right, guys. All right,
but
where was he after week five? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I mean the one thing they definitely need to do in this offseason is sign down Leonard Floyd. I think. The guy for a guy that came what, a few weeks before the season started, to now to lead the Bills in sacks, and you've got Epinesa, who's starting to prove it now in this contract year for him. Russo's probably in the sophomore was his slump a little bit, but he's still good enough. You've got this defensive line that really is now a force to be reckoned with, and we just need to be healthy in other areas, and then we can actually get back to having that dominant defense that will then hopefully complement this offense.
Do we have the money to bring back Epinesa? Just throwing it out there. I like what he's done this year, but it's team. You have to be team friendly. He's not going to be.
I think they're going to be over the cap before the season starts, before the new league year starts. But there are cap friendly moves to actually to bring them under and sign the players up. I think I think it's going to be an interesting one. And as I say, we've got to go back to Douglas as well. And that was a pickup. We lost we lost one of our thirds, but we gained a fifth for a guy that in 2 weeks has pretty much become the de facto number one.
Become almost and, essential, hasn't he?
Yeah, and his grades, again, this is PFF grades, 96.3 PFF grade, first among defenders, and 89.0 run defense grade, second. Four targets, no receptions allowed, two interceptions, a zero passer rating allowed, one fumble recovery, and yet got beaten out by Jalen Ramsey for AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Yeah. It's because he had a very like a divey, flashy interception. That's all that was.
Yeah. I just think, I mean,
national media and their highlight reels, isn't it? They don't watch the games; they just watch the highlights.
To get
at least Reggie Gilliam got special teams player of the week for absolutely eviscerating their kick returner.
Cut him in two, didn't he? My God.
That is a grown man that he has just absolutely, and do you know what? He was owed one after what happened in week one. That and I think that they on the kickoff, that was signal to that's the guy who we let score on us. In week one, let's go and absolutely batter him. And my word, that's like I wouldn't. I thought he was dead to begin with.
I thought he'd
killed it. It was amazing. Yeah. Loved that. Yeah. Loved everything about it.
I'm glad he didn't. So now I can celebrate the play because otherwise I would have felt a bit guilty about it.
Do you know what? I'd have got over it.
Oh, you know what? What a way to go. Hey, they knew the risks. Come on.
I mean, it's good to see that they are stepping up and maybe that this week is now the wake up call, especially on offense. But knowing what we can do on defense, and we'll talk about Eagles in a minute because there's still a few question marks on the old injury report, especially in the secondary, on what we can actually do going forward, and if this is a start of that. Of that miraculous run, it seems like the last few years and all that, we've had a spell in the middle of the season where we've gone on a bit of a Debbie Downer and a bit of a shit run and yet come out hot towards the end of the season. Maybe this now is the kickstart momentum for that.
Well, I think people will sit up and take notice if we put away the 9-1 Eagles. Big if.
Who, by the way?
Jets is a nice reset. Okay, good. Momentum, that's nice. Momentum is a real thing. Confidence is a real thing. They'll have that back now. They look like they've got it. They'll go in there and give them a game. But, yeah, people will. And of course, the knock-on is if they beat the Eagles, they will surely think that they can beat anyone down the stretch. It's an interesting thing. If they run it close, then, again, if they lose by three scores, then... We're no further forward. It was amazing.
And I've got to say, I watched that game on Monday night.
Yeah, me too.
A Bills that play as well as the Bills can beat either of those teams.
Yeah, I'm still unconvinced by both teams, and I'm certainly not convinced by the Chiefs. They've been almost coasting on their reputation. They're like late. I always do tennis. Late period Federer. Would just beat people before he got on the court because of his reputation and his aura.
Yeah.
But he actually wasn't, you know. You tie up Kelsey, you stop the run.
Well,
They look really
ordinary. The rest
of
those receivers are shite and they're absolute nobodies.
You're relying on Mahomes to pull a rabbit out of the hat, aren't you?
Well, there's one way to stop Kelsey. Just tie up Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
She's not allowed to be there. She's not allowed to be there.
So that's going to be that tire out.
I was going to say, kidnap his mother. Come on, let's play hard. Let's play hardball. We're not messing
around. Well, no, that's unfair on Jason.
You see, though, in The Dark Knight, where he like kidnaps both of them, and Batman can only save like either his girlfriend or Harvey Dent. Like, do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's either Taylor Swift or your mum.
Wow.
The Swifties is going to be after me. That's it. I'm cancelled now.
Genuinely, I think that, like, bizarrely, both of those teams, it was their defenses that looked more impressive to me than either of their offensive play. And I think that the Chiefs got after Hurts and were really effective in doing it. And I think that we are, if our, like, Leonard Floyd and Greg Russo, et cetera, AJ Epinesa, if they can keep doing it, I've kind of got to a point where I'm not convinced that Von Miller is ever going to be the same, or at least this season isn't going to look like the Von Miller that we remember him being. And I think that that's then a decision that we need to make based on the money that we owe him next season. But if those guys and Ed Oliver can play the same way, it seems ludicrous based on how we've played in the last month, but I am feeling strangely confident at the moment.
Yeah, I feel it's probably the Jets win talking, but I think the Eagles winning rather than the Chiefs winning probably did us a favour, because I think the Eagles really would have wanted to get that Super Bowl revenge against the Chiefs, and now they have. They've got a couple of tough games after us. It might be a good time to play them. Where I don't really buy into short weeks or any of that nonsense, but I think it might be a good time to play them, that we just hit them at the right time. And they've kind of laboured quite a few wins as well. Washington should have beaten them in one of the games. I've seen a couple of the games, and they're doing enough and finding ways to win, which is what good teams do, but they don't blow teams away. They don't. No.
They were down by two scores against Washington.
Yeah, precisely. And Washington should have won.
Should have won. They lost. They lost to the Jets.
Yes.
So did we. They lost. Like, relatively recently, they lost to Zach Wilson. Yeah. You're right. They only beat the Commanders back at the beginning of October by 3 points. They haven't, to me, by any stretch of the imagination, looked convincing really in any game. But they've managed to win. They've still managed to do enough to win them.
And all credit to them for that. But if they come if we can play that game, if you get Kincaid and Diggs and Shakir going and the defense can step up, you could get 14 points up on them. And then they're in trouble because they can't score quick. So,
you can't just go and do 100 tush pushes all the way down the fucking pitch.
Yeah, exactly. You ain't gonna do it. Yeah. The tush push on first and 10. Yeah.
I mean, with the Eagles, don't get me wrong, they are struggling on there. They do still have, obviously, they do have the big hitters out wide in AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, but it's just the way of how well we can actually suffocate that. I think there's going to be a lot of keys to it, and they rely more on the pass game than the run game at the moment.
Control the line. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Devontae Smith is gonna have an interesting battle over, because he was getting a lot of joy in the middle of the Chiefs defense, finding a lot of holes in the kind of the space between the linebackers and the secondary. So it's gonna be interesting to see what the linebackers and how they play that, because that's where he looks to operate. And he still had 99 yards on the day, was still effective. AJ Brown, only one catch for 8 yards. So they kept him nicely quiet. We'll have to do the same. They're hurt by the fact that Dallas Goedert isn't there anymore, because he's out with a long-term injury. So they have no effective tight ends at the minute, which hurts them, because he was a huge safety blanket option for Jalen Hurts. I still think Swift is a great back. But our defenses look good enough in stopping the run. It hasn't been our Achilles heel this season as much as it has been in previous seasons.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we managed to hold Mike Evans. This is before we had Rasul Douglas. We managed to hold Mike Evans to what? a few catches. Okay, he gave up a touchdown on there, but it wasn't his dominant performance on there. And obviously, T. Higgins, but we kept Jamar Chase, the out-and-out Bengals number one wide receiver, quieter on there. So there are good things that we can actually we can take from it. And I say, with Douglas, you're more likely going to get, you've got that, how do I dare say it, the lockdown corner. that we wanted Trey to be after his ACL. So the pre-first ACL Trey White, we have potentially now in Russell Douglas, and Benford is quietly having a statistical great season for a sixth round pick out of Villanova.
So if we can keep him fit, yeah.
Yes.
That's the thing, isn't it? You could really do with Aaron Johnson coming back and looking at the injury report. He's gone from a did not practice to a limited. If he can clear a concussion, fingers crossed. But yeah, if they can get him back, get Taylor Rapp back, it's the health. But if they can put out a healthy secondary, yeah, they've got a chance.
Yeah. You're right. I think if you look back through the season, there's not been many top draw number one wide receivers that have had their way with us. Even Garrett Wilson only had two catches for 9 yards in our game.
Yeah.
And I think their highest receiver was it Hall? I think, and most of that was on the touchdown, or a lot of it was on the touchdown play. But
I'm sure, up there, but it's gone.
I'm sure it was Breece Hall. But there doesn't feel like there's been a lot of teams, even in the game that we played Miami, even like Hill didn't have a brilliant statistical day, I think. No. Yeah. So yeah, it's not worried about the Eagles at all. Let's just give us the win and move on.
Bye. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're into the bye. Chiefs after the bye. Love it.
I mean, offensive wise, the Eagles defense, don't get me wrong, it's a stingy defense. I mean, you've got a fair few Georgia Bulldogs.
Sorry, do you mean stingy?
What did I say?
Stingy.
Oh, well.
It's
stingy and stingy. There we go. How about that? Yeah. But they've got some decent players in there. And they drafted high on that defensive line. So it's going to be even more of a test for our offensive line than previous. And obviously they've made those free agents, the trade at the trade deadlines and those free agent signings to shore up that defense. So there is a way on offense. And I think it's just the adjustment that Brady has shown, and also actually motion and all that, to find out whether they're man or zone and just exploit all the open space. And what was interesting about that game against the Jets was Allen was focusing more down the middle than he was to the ends. So he was taking advantage of the space made by motion and adjustments and actually exploiting it. I think that's got to be the key, having that and having an up-tempo offense.
Hmm. Well, it's interesting. It depends on the who you ask or which website you're looking at. I'm looking at Fox Sports, and according to them, the rushing defense, the Eagles are number one with fewest rush yards are allowed, and only 3 rushing touchdowns, 76.5 yards. For the pass defense, they are pass defense is actually pretty poor. It's 28th. And their third down defense is not good either, 25th.
Mm.
So it's like they're stingy on that first and second down, but they're still gonna give you chances. And I think we've got a chance, lads.
I've never been more convinced that we're gonna beat them.
There you go. That's it, let's call it now.
Okay.
It's only the 15th ever time that we've played them, and we haven't beaten them since in Philadelphia since 1996. So we're well overdue going to Philadelphia and winning a game.
Yeah, and they're 9-1. They've got to be due a defeat as well.
They don't care about this one.
They can afford to lose one as well. They're not going to have the fire. They're 2 scores down in the fourth quarter. They'll just be like, never mind, not a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at Pro Football Reference on their stats, and they have obviously the Eagles' number one rush defense, but they have them down at number 25 in pass defense.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, that's not good, is it?
No. And what is it? They've given up they're giving up the third most passing touchdowns with 21. Only Chicago and Washington have actually given more through the air than Philadelphia have. And this is a 9-1. It's a 9-1 team, and the next one with a good record, obviously Detroit only let 16, Miami only let 15. I mean, hell, the Giants have only let 14 passing touchdowns compared to the Eagles 21.
So a good D line, but the secondary could be
a bit hit and miss.
Yeah, a bit leaky.
I think they've had it's odd as well, considering last season the secondary was very much one of their strengths, and I know that they've had some injuries, but Darius Slay and they both got brought back. Haven't been anywhere near performing anywhere near to the level that they had last season. Kevin Byard is obviously a great player, but towards the end of his career and is very, very new into that system. Reed Blankenship has been injured and hasn't been performing brilliantly. So there's been change amongst that secondary. I still find it odd that they're playing as poorly as they are, but I've got no problems with it because it's, you know, let Josh cook again. Give him the ball, let him do it.
I think that is the way. I think now we've got that new lease of life. Let's call it that. New lease of life now from, as Mark's thing, we actually changed Mark's name to G.I. Joe Brady. Yeah. We've got the new lease and it's now just, I wouldn't say hit and hope, but it's just play, just play relaxed football, no pressure football. It will be what will be this season, but at least we'll have a fresh and actually a bit more upbeat offense to try and not dig us out of a hole, but try and push us at least to the playoffs. And once we hit, if we do make the playoffs, then no one will want to face us if we turn over the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Cowboys in the next 3 weeks, excluding the bye week, obviously.
With a week 18 showdown with the Dolphins as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Dolphins' next five games. I mean, realistically, we are going for a wild card spot because two games off the Dolphins in the next four or five, they should win. They beat the bad teams. For the next four or five, they really should win if they're being serious.
I mean, they've got the Eagles still. No, they haven't got the Eagles, have they? I don't know what they're
scheduled. In front of me. I think I've got something like the Colts, and they just got past. I mean, they made hard work of getting past the Raiders, but
They go Jets this week, then Commanders, then Titans, then Jets again. So the next tough game is the Cowboys. But then it's to finish Cowboys, Ravens, Bills.
Okay, so a bit tricky. The last three are tricky then.
Yeah. So you're gonna have at least, you can have at least knock three losses on there potentially. But
if they lose one more than us, we can beat them in week 18 and go above them.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
Yeah, so
we're relying on a week 18 win at their place, but they have to lose one more than us in the meantime.
Yeah. I think it's done, but as Josh always used to say, and we always say, we're 1-0.
Yeah.
We just go each week 1-0 and forget what our record is at the moment. Just go build momentum, start from 0-0, and then we just go 1-0 each week and see where it takes us.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're exactly right. I think we're kind of relying on, I think, Browns, Texans, Steelers to start to throw some games away with the quarterbacking situation as it is in Cleveland at the moment. They're not going to. They surely can't continue on the run that they're on.
The Texans, they're a crap
division, but you'd think that they're going to chuck in a couple of defeats there somewhere along the line. and the Steelers are just, the Steelers are a terrible side.
And yet somehow, just almost through bloody mindedness, Tomlin just keeps pulling wins.
It's just mental how he does it.
Yeah.
But again, their run isn't particularly awful in that they've got the Bengals, Burrowless Bengals, Cardinals, Patriots, Colts, Bengals again, Seahawks and Ravens. It's not a terrible run of fixtures.
No.
Not terrible. They'll all be 3 or 4 point games. Well, they could win five of that last seven. They could lose five of the last seven, couldn't they? You could see them doing both. That AFC North is just a bag of ferrets, isn't it? It's just whoever, so last man standing, just dirty fight, isn't it? Every single game is a 13-10 or a 17-14.
I think what you said earlier on, Matt, is right, that if somehow we do manage to scrape into the playoffs, we've beaten some good teams to get there, and no one's going to want to play us because we'll be on a decent run and a rich vein of form. We could go to Philadelphia and get absolutely spanked, and then go on a bye week, come off the bye week cold and get hammered away at the Chiefs. And then we go, well, if we lose those two games, I think we're pretty much done.
Yeah.
But every game, as the old cliche goes, every game is a cup final now.
Yeah. Any given Sunday,
that's it. Rather
than cup final, every game now is a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We've got to make it NFL related, haven't we?
It's a playoff game, isn't it? Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, our playoffs start now. We lose and go home.
Yeah. So,
I mean, genuinely, I think we're not far off that stage. It's I think we can probably afford to lose one more game. I don't think we can afford like 10-7. Is that going to get us in? When I don't think it is.
No,
not with losing to the Jags, not with a bad conference record. You're going to think there's going to be a couple of other teams on 10 wins. You'd have to get to 11, I think.
I think you're right.
So before we sign off, let's go around your two players to watch and your score. Robin, you go first. You've missed the last week.
Yeah, so my players to watch, I'm going to say my offensive player to watch, I'm going to say Ty Johnson. I hope he gets some more time. I'll be interested to see if they work him in again. I think he could be useful. Pass catching, guy coming in, just not a lot, 3 or 4 catches. I think he might make the difference. They'll cover Diggs. They'll probably try and figure out Kincaid. I think we just need a third or fourth guy just to come in with a couple, and I'll keep an eye on him. Do you want me to do my defense now, or should we go round with the offense?
I'll go defense. Get out of the way.
So my defense, maybe a bit of Christian Benford. I think he needs to have a good game, not just because of his health. Like he wasn't even supposed to play last week. So I hope he's okay. It's more about I hope he's all right to play, because we need some healthy bodies certainly in the defensive back room. And I hope he's back and making plays for us.
Okay, score.
I mean, go big or go home. I'm going to say 31-17.
Okay.
I just think we jump in, we get two quick scores, 17, and we just keep them two scores behind, and they get a score and we get a score, and we just manage it to the end. But we just go in and smash them in the mouth, and that's just what I think will happen.
Okay, Mark.
So I'm going to say my offensive player to watch is a up and coming young guy who I think has got a lot of potential to be good in this league. He's called Stephon Diggs. Mm. I think he had a poor game last weekend, but I think that because of that, they're going to be trying to feed him the ball a little bit more. He's going to be hungry for the ball a little bit more. I think he's going to want to have a big performance against a secondary that we've already talked about is pretty weak. So I'm saying he's going to have a big game this weekend. Defensive side of the ball, Chiefs managed to sack Jalen Hurts 5 times at the weekend. I think that we can do something very similar. One of the guys, there's been a lot made of Leonard Floyd and Ed Oliver and those kind of guys. So I'm saying this is going to be Greg Rousseau's game.
Yes.
Root is going to be there. He's going to get 2 to 3 sacks. And he's going to get Jalen Hurts early and often and be disruptive in the backfield.
Okay. And you score?
I am going to say Bills win 28-24.
Okay. So I'm going to go defense first because I'm still thinking of my offense. I think I know who I'm going to pick for the offense, but my defensive player is actually is going to be on the other side of the defensive rotor when he gets rostered in, and AJ Epenesa.
Okay.
Because we've seen what he's been able to do this season and actually and start to build up a bit of a repertoire. He's in a prove it year and all that, but he's shown that he's also good against run, but he's actually getting a lot more frequent to the quarterback. And I think it depends on if he's playing with Floyd or following Floyd in there. If you have those two in there, you can see him really getting involved and making those key plays. And I have a feeling that it'll come down to quarter four and he's going to bring up a big play. I don't know what type of play, but he's going to come up with a big play, probably a sack to take him out of field goal range to actually win the Bills the game. I just think he could be that dominant and that influential. And for offense, I am going with another wide receiver. I'm going back to Khalil Shakir.
Okay.
Nice.
I mean, obviously he's come up, he's barely dropped a pass. He's actually now become a more favorite target of Josh Allen. And he's now playing to the strength of Allen. When Allen scrambles, Shakir seems to then be able to find a bit of space, come back and help out. And just what he's done in a few games, hitting over 100 yards last week and getting close to it the week before, just shows that he's got more and more confidence, and you're expecting another big, big game from him.
I think he passes the eye test, doesn't he? He looks the part. He does, like you say, he doesn't look like he's ever going to drop a pass. And just in a team that's had its struggles offensively, he's the one who's looked like the most complete receiver that we've had in the last couple of weeks. I genuinely hope that McDermott doesn't kind of like go to McDermott about it, and he gets all like doesn't see the field too much, because he looks the absolute business at the moment.
And score wise,
oh, he's done it again, Matt's just put on pause for
I'll just pretend I'm him. So Robin. It's a tough one to call, but I'm saying Bills by a billion. Bills, oh, here he is, he's back.
No problem.
I'm back.
What's your score prediction?
My score prediction, I'm going with I'm going for a close game. I'm going for a big game. I think both teams are going to score points on there. I'm going to go similar to what Mark did, but I think we hit 30, so I'm going to go 31-27.
Okay.
Cool. So I think even though they relying focusly solely on Brown and Smith and all that, I still think that this defense, as much as our offense is actually improving after this 1 week, I still think there is turnover plays that could be with this defense and with the offense of the Eagles could punish us a little bit. So I think it's going to be a close one, but I think there's going to be points in this game.
Cool.
So after all that, it's back to another 9-25 game. obviously.
Yeah, love that. Good.
It's a lot more of a sociable time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all
Chicago is 3:25 on Sunday because you get 6 hours back. So that was a brief moment.
Well, that's good. I mean, all we could say is obviously keep following all three of us on our socials, follow the UK Bills on the socials, the podcast on the socials, and we will see you next week for what will be going into a bye week with 2 wins under our new G.I. Joe offensive coordinator. And for Robin, Mark, myself, Matt, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Happy Thanksgiving. We forgot to say that at the beginning of the show to record this Happy on Thanksgiving in America. Or some people on the Bills group chat said Happy Traitors Day.
But, yeah.
Wow.
But,
Happy Genocide Day.
But Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Oh, the people who lived there before. You know, all dead. Yeah.
But Happy Thanksgiving, and all we say is let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
You know anything about work? No. Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three.